Invasive species are one of the biggest issues facing Lake Superior. The most important invasive species to hit the lake to date is the sea lamprey. It changed everything. It wiped out the lake trout population in the other Great Lakes and came close to doing the same in Lake Superior. Mark Gaydon is an expert on the lamprey and works for the Great Lakes Fishery Commission.
There's no doubt that the lamprey has been one of the worst ecological disasters and one of the most devastating economic catastrophes that have hit the Great Lakes Basin. And when they came into the system, they changed a way of life, and people watched their livelihoods dissolve before their eyes.
Sure, when I was growing up as a kid, we didn't look toward the lake. The homestead was there, the big boathouse was there, the docks that went out in the lake, that was all something of the past. I would hear stories from my family.
I'm third generation. My family's at Little Moray. I grew up in the 50s and the 60s.
In the 50s, it was all depleted. And that was my first impressions of the lake. There's nothing out there for it. And the old days are gone, the old days where the lake was your life. Yeah, people used to say that, there's nothing out there, and that's the Blue Desert, the Blue Desert, the Blue Desert, the Blue Desert.
Before the 1950s, Lake Superior was a different place. Art Finstead's family settled Minnesota's North Shore in the late 1800s. Like many, they came from Norway, and the tradition of fishing followed them here. But things changed for Art's family when the sea lamprey invaded. Fishing, once a mainstay for families like Art's, was no longer viable.
And over the course of a very short amount of time, like a decade or a decade and a half, commercial fishing operation, the harvest went from in about 20 million pounds of fish a year to a couple of 100,000 pounds. To the point where lake trout, which is a top species in all of the Great Lakes, was extirpated from four of the five Great Lakes. Lake Superior lake trout was not extirpated, but certainly driven down to very low numbers. That's what lamprey did, and that's how destructive they are.
In Lake Michigan, the lamprey were so thick that you could throw a white board out behind a boat sometimes roll it along, and the lampreys would attach themselves to it. Or they'd be hanging on pilings if the water level dropped, you'd see them there. They were really abundant.
Stu Sievertson's family lived through the lamprey invasion. Every year, just after ice out on the Big Lake, Stu's dad migrated to Isle Royale to fish. He sent letters home to stay in touch.
It was, I remember seeing my mother crying one time after having received a letter, and I asked her about it, and she said, I miss your dad and so on. She told me later on in life that it was one of the first letters that she'd received back, and she knew, this was probably in the early 50s, that our way of life would probably be changing.
The cumulative effect of the lamprey was totally devastating the Great Lakes fishing families. Once the lamprey got established, everything changed. Only one in six fish survive a lamprey attack. Michael Wagner studies sea lampreys.
They attack them by sucking onto the side of their body and rasping a hole into them and living off of blood and maybe a little bit of tissue, and as you can imagine, that's pretty harmful.
The lamprey population is now under control, but the battle is never over. Jesse Schomburg is with the Minnesota Sea Grant.
There's millions spent every year to kill lamprey. A lot of it's trapping and lampricides, chemicals that just target lampreys. They're targeted when they spawn in rivers and streams. But it's ongoing every year, millions of dollars.
The lamprey is just one example of an invasive species in the Great Lakes.
We have more than 180 non-native species in the Great Lakes. We know how to control two. That's it. Out of the 180 non-native species in the system, many of which cause significant ecological harm, We know how to control two of them.
The Lake Superior Project is a production of WTIP Community Radio on the north shore of Lake Superior. Program producers are Barbara Jean Johnson and Kelly Schoenfelder. This project is funded in part by the Coastal Zone Management Act, by NOAA's Office of Ocean and Coastal Resource Management, in cooperation with Minnesota's Lake Superior Coastal Program. To learn more, visit WTIP.org/Lake Superior Project.